If there is any question or anything that, you know, you want to speak about.
You said the other day, if you follow your heart, you may end up doing some things which are not really your cup of tea. In the past, I followed what I felt was such an urging, and thinking, I'm really not going to like this. And as it happened, I didn't like it. And I wasn't very good at it. And so, not too long, I stopped doing it. And a lot of spiritual teachers are always saying, if you follow these kind of urges, you always go towards the joy. These things will bring more joy. And I didn't feel much joy in this particular instance.
This particular?
Yeah. I did. So I was wondering what you might have to say to that.
So you feel you followed your heart? And that.
Yeah, I feel at a deeper level, I really want to experience this.
Yeah.
On a more surface level, it was like, well, I must be crazy to try this.
Yeah.
And then I got into the situation, and actually, even every day I was doing it, I think, well, why am I doing this? Why am I here?
Yeah.
It was, I'm not so suited to this at all.
Yeah.
So I didn't stick with it for very long.
Yeah.
But I really felt, initially, I want to experience this.
Yeah. So that sounds very good. Like, because, you know, when we feel this pull, it's not so much about kind of what I feel like doing, no? That's what I was meaning, that you find yourself finding, like, doing things that you really thought you would never do. But because this is the magic of life, no? That in this openness, like, you are brought or you are called to do things or find yourself in situations where through your head, ideally, you would not have driven yourself there. But somehow there is something else deeper that senses that that is important to do. And, you know, the joy, no joy, like, this is kind of little bit different in the sense that, you know, everything we go through is not necessarily joyful, you know. But it is more important to follow your heart than to be looking around for nice things to do.
I say this because I think a lot of spiritual teachers now are saying, if you follow your heart, you always bring the joy, and follow the joy.
Yeah.
And in this particular instance, I followed my heart.
Yes.
I mean, at some level, I thought, I really need to experience this.
Yeah.
But the experience was really quite difficult.
Yeah.
And not joyful at all. So.
Yeah.
Then at the end of it, I said, well, what was all that about? Did I make a mistake?
Yeah.
But, I mean, now I can see in the bigger context, I can see a point to it.
Yeah.
But after many years have passed.
Yeah. Yeah, so these things, no? Spirituality is not like just kind of dealing with finding, like, happiness in the sense of how we understand emotionally, like joy in that sense of, like, I don't know, having fun or, you know, liking what you do, but sometimes really going through times where exactly we have no clue why we are doing that, and we have no clue, like, how could possibly joy come out of that, you know? And still, something brings us there to do that, you know, and that is important. So in like we can say like ultimately like spirituality, like it is beyond joy, you know. If we are looking for, you know, good, bad, or happiness, sadness, like still we are not in spiritual kind of place, no? We are dealing with kind of psychologically, like finding appropriate situation according to what I want, no? According to my priorities, my individuality.
But in the long term, yeah. Should not joy come together with the spiritual path? So
yeah.
As you awaken, you become more joyful?
Yeah, because the fluidity, no? Because there is no friction, what we were saying the other day. Because then slowly, slowly, there is no friction. And then even if you are doing something that is not what you would choose through your head, still there is the deep joy of being serving that, you know, or being tuned into, or being in the right current, you know. That really gives juiciness and joy, like really deeply. But that is different from liking it or not liking it, especially in that moment. And as you say, like, looking back, many times when we see why, you know, we can feel like the benefit of that, which in that moment was very, very hard, you know, sometimes. So that is deeper than just running away because it doesn't feel good in this moment. You know what I mean? So if we feel that this is important to follow this call, then yeah, like to do it, like even though it is not probably what we would choose, you know.
The point where I stopped doing it was quite difficult,
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't clear to me whether I should stop this because this isn't working, or I'm stopping it because I'm running away from something.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, many times this is the case, you know. And we don't know, we can try our best again, you know. And maybe we will never know, but it is also beautiful to allow this confusion, no?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if that is going anywhere or not, and, you know, I don't know if it makes sense or not. And some voice says to stop, some voice says to continue. And probably, you know, we will not know, but it's really good to allow this to be, no? This questioning.
Thank you.
Also, many times, this is, I think we were speaking one day about these things, that, you know, how all of us, we look for the comfort of having found, you know, like we seek to find something. And it is very attractive to feel that we found, you know. And especially if that comes with a sense of belonging, you know. Like it is so human, like so linked to this survival instinct, like to feel belonging, that, you know, we can buy anything, like we would buy anything, like we would say yes to a practice, for example, that doesn't really feel like totally okay, but it gives the sense of belonging, no? So it has the sense of not being alone doing that, you know? And that to me is one of the main kind of tricks or problems in our world, you know, that if you see in spirituality, we have many paths, no, that are clear and you can join these paths, you know. But very, very little spaces to say, like, You know, yes, they are all these parts, but most important is for you to figure out, like, really, what is your way, you know? And it is much, much easier to join some ready-made combination than to have to look in and find really what is, you know, speaks to you and what really moves you and what really takes you. So in that sense, like, I feel like there is great courage needed to break the rules in general, like to break the rules of, like, once you are, like, in a collective kind of practice or in a specific path or belonging in some kind of sangha or line, particular line, it takes great courage to listen to your heart more than what you're supposed to be kind of listening to, no? And it is, I feel like very few people actually, like, overcome that, you know? And usually it comes a time where, like, something doesn't make sense in that path, but still we choose to keep on going because of the sense of belonging, no? And comfort and, like, yeah, like, agreement with each other, you know? But to really, like, be yourself many, many times, not always. There are some rare cases in which, like, the heart matches that specific path, but I find more and more rare, you know? And more needed is to feel really your own texture and tune into that and, you know, and many times this moment of great aloneness comes, which I think is really completely inbuilt in spirituality, kind of. We try to avoid it, this great aloneness, you know, but somehow it feels like, you know, we need to go through some of this at least, you know, like, we cannot just make as if my path is similar to my neighbor's, you know. It's gonna be different if it is authentic, no? So that's a little bit, like, one thing that is needed, this courage to face this great aloneness in order to allow really, like, what wants to come, you know, and not be scared because that doesn't fit into what's supposed to come in the books, you know.
I think on the spiritual path, there's many people in terms of work, looking for the work they're born to do or the work that they feel most aligned with. So this is a sort of searching for something that gives them what they think is joy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit different from what you're talking about. People are not going to find it in the way that you're talking about.
People are not going to find, sorry?
There's no straightforward path to finding that joy. Because it's not going to be what you think it is.
Yeah.
It could be something.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah. So this openness and this, like, keep checking if that is authentic or not, you know. So that will take you everywhere, no?
But if in some part there is so much which kind of seems to click or, like, this really works, so then it's kind of difficult to know if there's something which doesn't seem right at first, maybe it's still something that will be okay later or not. Kind of how to know whether it's not my thing.
Yeah, sometimes you have to try till your inner voice grows enough so that you don't need crutches anymore, you know. You can walk on your feet. And yeah, many times we have to try things. Keeping what?
Keeping on checking.
Checking, yeah. I understood chicken. I'm like, what? Okay.
Someone once told me not to follow my heart, because their version of a spirituality connected to the heart was that the heart was fickle.
What's what?
Fickle.
What's fickle?
Like the whim of something and then the whim of something else.
Picky?
No, not picky, more like
keeps changing.
Yeah.
Can change from one opinion to another.
Cheese one day and Nancy's being a vegan the next day.
Yeah.
And so that this is the nature of the heart. And so it's interesting. It's been interesting for me to kind of feel into the heart. And see that, and for that to be okay.
Yeah.
So keep chicken.
Yeah. Keep chicken. Yeah. 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 So, but there is this kind of emotional heart which keeps changing, but then this deeper place, no? That. Because the problem is we use this word heart for many different things, no? Like love also, like things like, so really like if we can feel this kind of deeper heart, you know, like we can call it more like belly or, you know, yeah. So that doesn't change that much, no? Yeah, we are very much afraid of this heart, you know. Like we basically, it feels to me that we are very much afraid of ourselves, you know. Like we feel that if we don't control it, then we will go wild, no? Like it's kind of a horse that if you don't like hold it like tight, then it will start like running all directions and make you crazy, no? And many, many, many times spiritual path becomes this art of controlling the horse, no? And people feel successful because they are good techniques that really help you in controlling the horse, no? The heart, in other words, you know? And then in following that, because we feel success, because real changes happen in our life, no? Then we feel we cannot let go of that, you know? Like, we come to spirituality to become better, to not let this heart be as crazy. So we manage and find a good way to control ourselves, you know. And then, of course, we take as if this is forever, no? So we hire this, in these practices, it's like we hire this watchman or soldier, like to live here within us, that will check all the time, no? Like control the mind and, you know, and check everything and make sure that you don't go off the road, no? And when we start practicing like spiritual path like this, it becomes extremely difficult to let go of that, you know? Because somehow the way we remember ourselves is that without that we will go crazy. We will go, our mind will be all over the place all the time, no? So then we learn to train this mind by hiring this soldier. And then we don't realize that instead of freedom, what we have is, you know, we have to pay this salary of the soldier every month, you know, and have this soldier living with us 24 hours.
Or our mother.
Huh? Or our mother. Yeah, maybe it's cheaper because probably she will. Yeah, she will not charge, you know. So, you know, that's the situation many, many times. And the thing is, as we move along in this, you know, controlled kind of life, then time keeps passing. So the way we remember ourselves, we are stuck remembering ourselves as we were before, you know, like all over the place, like crazy. So, of course, because we don't dare to fire this soldier, you know, then there is no space, we can say, for us to actually, you know, see where we are now. Like, if we would dare to fire this soldier and really loosen the reins of this horse, we will probably be surprised that that which we thought of ourselves is way too old, you know, and that actually probably the horse will not run that crazy anymore, you know. But thing is, we don't give the chance to experience that, because we just keep on living with this soldier, you know? And like people, I have seen people doing this like for 30, 40 years, you know, and I really don't know how they could possibly think that this is something fun to do, you know. I don't know how they really live with that and think that this is fun, no? So, however good control of mind and emotions and whatever is there, like, it means nothing to me, no? In that. So, this courage to fire the soldier and see where we are and let, you know, fluidity be, it is like really deeply becoming human, you know. And of course, this can only happen as we start trusting life, no? Or as we feel this ongoing connection with this kind of whatever, like golden thread, or, you know, when we feel that something underneath is there constantly, you know? And this thing underneath, which is there constantly, has the ability to embrace good days and bad days, you know. Of course, we think like, if what we think is like, I'm going to train myself to not have bad days. And it's true that probably you will not have bad days because you will just not let the mind go off, you know. But what is the meaning of that, you know? It's like living in prison, it feels to me, you know? So what it would be to really have the courage to just live without this soldier and allow yourself to even be off the road and even have bad days, But somewhere knowing that, you know, you will be not left alone, you know. Even if you have bad day or even if you go off the road, like something is strong enough to pull you back, you know. Not by force, but really by connection. And that starts to have a taste of actually life, you know, like when we start to allow that, that starts to have a taste of life, you know, and freedom.
Can I just say something about the nature of that connection? I think these 3 weeks I start to feel this connection quite strongly, but it's nothing really like I imagined. It's very quiet, still, and deep, and I'm feeling it more strongly now, but it's just there. And I feel that I've misread it before. I haven't really fully connected with what it is.
Mm.
And if I haven't fully, and I feel it's me, it's my essence, it's who I am. And if I've never really fully connected with my essence, then whether you have a guard or not, it's going to be difficult to find your way.
Yeah, but this is life, no? But this is like, this is the beauty of life. You know, like we can kill that mystery by, you know, setting up a pre-made kind of way, you know, that I think it will work. Or we can really, like, start to love this tuning in and deeply connecting with that, which is, like, extremely soft and very, very subtle. And, of course, because it's very soft and very subtle, some days we will feel like it's not there. Yes, I agree. But the beauty of slowly, slowly getting like in a relationship with that, it is like biggest joy, you know? That is biggest joy.
Well, I feel it now, and I'm really grateful to have the opportunity here on a retreat to really connect with that. But it makes me question why we would be born and not feel such a connection. Because this is who we are.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got that, you're nowhere.
Yeah.
Maybe we felt it, and maybe we felt it, and then we forgot, and then we covered it in many, many things. But maybe when we were born and when we were very young, but then we kind of, you know, did a lot of things to forget it. Now we're kind of trying to remember it again and to get it again. But,
there is this beautiful saying that someone said one time, which is, was this boy who had a little sister, like boy, like 5 years old, and had this little sister, was born, and then one day he went to her little bed and said, like, could you please whisper me, like, speak to me about God, because I start to forget.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you were saying that.
I think I can connect with this fear of maybe I will do whatever if I stop controlling.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, because I think we do control quite a lot even before we start meditation practice.
Yeah.
It's something we just tend to do. So can we stop controlling kind of too soon before we have connected to something deep within? So kind of if we just stop controlling and, for example, our emotions go whichever way and then we are very angry, and what shall we do if we don't control anymore.
Because deeply, I feel, even though we like to think that it's thanks to our control that I find the way and I keep myself in the way, like, it feels to me that truly this is not the case. You know, like, we feel it's because of me that I keep myself on track. You know? But it is really not like this, you know. There is something else that pulls us, like, we can say on track, or we pulls us there, you know. But we so strongly believe that it's because of our force, that it is, like, very difficult to let go of, like, being, like, intention, like, holding that, you know. But as we experience life and the generosity of life and really deeply, then we really start to understand that we are allowed to relax, really, you know, and to stop controlling everything. And as we do that, we find that things are there. First, we think, if I don't control, I'm 100% sure I will not function, no? And then experience is letting go of controlling and still functioning is happening.
I'd like to interject and say that sometimes there is a period between the letting go and the finding peace where there isn't functioning. And that might be because of wounds from early childhood throughout life, and that there is no shame in not functioning, that allowing the body, the mind, the spirit, the nervous system to completely rest is in itself a loving healing experience, and knowing that it is for now, not forever, helps those in that situation tolerate it, because it is very frightening to not be in control, to know you don't want to go back to being in control, and yet not seeing how you will find your way to joy. So there are multiple paths to joy. Some are through more difficult forests, if you will, and some are through calmer waters. But they can all lead to the same ultimate place, which is a place of joy and peace. Or, if not that yet, a place of hope for some joy and some peace. And the other thing I would add in is always there are choices on what path to take. To hire that guard, to fire that guard, to seek your way on your own with the help of someone else. There are many, many ways, everything along the way is a choice. So even when things seem hopeless, there are still choices.
be brave to be a Sangha or a path of the God, to come to India and practice with Open Dharma. I left a Sangha in New Zealand, and via email of a teacher, pretty much, I can't quote him, but told me that I would basically kind of spiritually rot in hell.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That, you know, I was going out and I would go backwards and and I think there's even things today about the, you talked a couple of days ago about having no, there being no choice. This, if I'm living in this heart rather than this heart.
You're fine, sorry?
If I live here.
Yeah.
And follow that love of life, then the choices unfold. So I understand that as like a no choice with freedom.
Yeah.
And the essence, I think, that was being talked about doesn't, and where I am at the moment, it doesn't feel like it's my essence. It feels like, I don't know, an essence or that essence. Or
yeah. Would that be more and more the feeling too, like, of being lived, you know? Being lived? Live, to live?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So perhaps just allowing ourselves to experiment with that, you know, when we feel we are tied to a kind of practice that perhaps it starts to feel like a burden, but we are sure that we cannot let go of that because otherwise we will be lost, you know. Perhaps to allow this sense of at least leaving some space for some other option, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean to completely change your practice, but it means like to leave some window open, you know, and to like to see yourself where you are without the good boy, good girl kind of following what you're supposed to follow, you know. Like, where would your heart naturally go if you don't set yourself on schedule, you know? I feel like every once in a while it's really good to check that, you know. Where would you go if you would act fully from joy, like really like doing whatever you want? What would you do? You know, and it feels to me that many, many times we would be surprised that we would actually not go that far as we thought we would, you know. Would not go that lost as we thought we would. And then if that happens, then maybe allowing more of that space, like maybe gradually, you know, allowing more of this space to really allow like this fluidity of what wants to come, and trusting that by doing that you would not just go wrong, no, but really like something else will take over that probably will end up doing the same that you are doing when you force yourself to do it, you know. But it is completely different experience. It is completely different experience. And for me that is like really like alive. And then from that place we start to live like another life, you know, and where we can trust ourselves, you know. Or in other words, we start moving also like from rules into like freedom. Or like being moved by something like beyond those rules and codes. And yet, of course, finding ourselves like not, you know, stealing or killing anyone, you know, just like naturally, like choosing not to do that. You know what I mean? Like it's a little extreme, but this is what we think of ourselves. If we don't control, we would do something kind of weird, you know? So to start allowing space for this possibility of doing something weird, and then probably seeing that our choice, you know, it is not that different from what we kind of try to fix and control. You know.
One moment when I was thinking about this, it wasn't really about stealing or killing or anything, but in the morning when we were walking to the waterfall,
yeah.
And then there were some impulses on the way, like I could go down there, there's something interesting, or I could do whatever. So then kind of just what would become of the walking if everybody goes somewhere, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely know whether to follow the impulses.
But that's really the experiment, no? So what we think, and of course, Jonathan and I think is like if you do that, you know, you would be breaking rules, no? But in reality, most likely, nothing would happen. No, you would just go like with fluidity, you would just like flow out to pick flower or to explore that and flow into the group again, you know? And would not be any problem with that. And that is more close to what it should be, you know. That there is this space for freedom. I remember, like, because I was practicing this Zen for like 10 years, and everything is very specific, you know. Like, you don't have to think which foot you are going to start walking. No, it is clearly decided by someone a few hundred years ago which foot you have to start walking. you know what I mean? So the times are very specific, and if you move you are in trouble, you know. And I remember like I went to this yatra, this where people walk and meditate, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know. I couldn't believe that, you know, without that strictness everyone was there in the meditation, you know, without the bells and the sticks and the guy threatening you and the, you know, Everyone was there at 6 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold. Floor, the ground is wet. I mean, who wants to be there, yeah? And everyone was there, meditating like 45 minutes. Like, you know, that is like really amazing to see, you know, like where this comes from, like when no one is telling you to do that. You know? So to find more this current where there is something alive that moves you to get up and do yoga, or to get up and, you know, and lie down again to meditate, or whatever, you know. But there is, you know, you can move by your schedule, like 6 o'clock, yoga, 7 o'clock, meditation, 8 o'clock, breakfast, you know. Or you can also experiment in, you know, what if, you know. And many, many times the amazing thing is that we do pretty much the same, but it comes from another place, you know, and that is really beautiful. Like when we discover that our deepest wish matches with our actions, like it is really like fulfilling, we can say. It is really like nice.
So would you say that Vipassana, the Goenka style, is very much about this controlling way? What is your opinion about it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this dilemma myself.
What was the name, did you say?
If Vipassana, the Goenka style, is this way, controlling and...
I think it's very good, like for especially young men who, you know, who need to go in something challenging and go out feeling that they gain something. And because this very specific format, it gives something, like something happens there, like you are pushed so that some kind of cathartic thing happens, and then you can really feel it and you can say it. You know, you can touch, you can feel, you can say, you know. So that is very, very important many times in some point at life, like to feel that, you know, that is in my hands to do that, you know. But then what, you know? Afterwards, what is left? Because then I see many people then struggling for a while, like then as they walk out of these 10 days, they already walk out like making a plan of the discipline they are going to follow in their house, no? And first 3 days they do that, fourth day they do half of it, and fifth day maybe none of it, and then down into the guiltiness of not being able to do what you promised yourself you would do. So it's kind of a, you know, I'm exaggerating, of course, but it is somehow, you know, very much like through pushing, you know, through pushing you gain some experience. And that experience could be valid, you know, could be really valid in that moment if that is what is needed. But, you know, that needs to move. Like this push needs to move into something else that runs by itself within, you know. So something like I'm interested in this thing which has its own petrol inbuilt, you know, or this solar kind of machine that runs you, and you can, you know, just lie in the sun, you know. It is really powerful to feel this the energy, no? In Zen, they say the yoriki, no? This energy after meditating like so many hours a day and like building up this energy, like it is powerful to feel that, you know. And but then it happens that there are many people like I was saying the other day, no, like almost like attached to that adrenaline of feeling that, you know, like, and then it becomes like almost like collection of experiences or kind of your life goes around according to what you experience or the depth kind of that you go, you know. But same way that you approach business or your own career or something, you know. And that, to me, like, that needs to change into something else that takes over, you know. So may we all love and honor life enough to allow this life to live without tight reins. And that really means to love enough that we can accept falling off the horse and letting life put us up the horse again and again and again.